everybody. Welcome back to Core. This is Core. And it's kind of new now. We talked about it last week. We're not going to talk about it again. But if you're confused, go back and listen. This is episode 163. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. And we're back. Guys, listen. It's been a hell of a week, as it turns out. And there's a lot to say about various things. We're going to keep it positive and exciting and fun and all that stuff. And we'll see how it goes. Like we said, we don't really know what the new structure is exactly, so we're going to kind of play with some things. I wrote the notes today, so here's our headings for people at home. See how you enjoy these names. The Big Talk, Medium Talk, and then Smaller Talk. Mm. That's pretty creative, John, right?
Not since they started naming curries with just colors in front of them. Has there been such a good organizational method?
I thought we should check in with the 1800s mail system and see if we can't get a certain someone's opinion on how they like change. And there's a lot of change going on these days. There's change happening here. There's change happening with one of our favorite video game companies. And so let's send a letter through Pony Express to one of those great Southern soldiers in the middle of the Civil War. Join us.
My dearest Martha, today marks an auspicious day. It's finally a day of sitting down to enjoy my favorite talkie on the radio. It's rare, Martha, that we get some good old-fashioned R&R these days, and so I'm looking forward to listening to Scott Johnson, Bo Schwartz, and John Jagger reminisce about the battle that I deal with every day of my life. Martha, for some reason, they're talking about Apex and zombies and battle royales. Martha, I don't hold with this fancy new talk, and I'm going to write them a letter post-haste. So, coming up next, dear Core, my dearest Core, better. F off. Yours truly, Core Fan 99.
Ah, perfect. That's what I like to hear. Whoops, that's the wrong button. Hold on. The sounds that'll never leave us. Yeah, that's right. You'll get Dear Martha's till we're dead. All right? That's just how it's going to go.
Jeez.
And Bo, and or sorry, John didn't know we were going to throw him that bone this morning or this evening. He just, you know, dives right in. That's how that works. That's how it's always worked. That was never planned. That was just a thing that would come up. And so I hope you guys enjoyed it. All right. We're going to dive in and talk about some stuff. All of us have been busy doing a thing. And so I made some cheesy transition music. The 70s are here and alive. Hey, everybody, check it out. Apex Legends. It's officially a thing because we really like it. And it's a little surprising because I don't think any of us would have counted ourselves among the hardcore aficionados of the world of battle royales. I think we all kind of dabble. We play a little bit. I kind of like Blackout and Black Ops, but whatever. It's okay. It didn't really hold me too long. Fortnite, I think, is universally hated by all three of us. It's not really our thing.
I don't know about that.
I hate it. I don't like
it. I can't.
Okay, but we should give our history because the history was I got into PUBG.
Yeah.
I kind of pulled you guys in briefly.
Yeah.
Then Scott went on a I like Fortnite rant before it was popular. Let me give you the hipster glasses, Scott.
All right.
Scott liked Fortnite before it was popular.
Yeah, I can't deny
He was it. Way into it and kept telling me how much better than PUBG it was.
Yeah.
Convinced me to play it. Then I got into it, and then Scott was like, I hate this game.
You know what happened to me? I mean, let me be straight about this, because John's not incorrect. I kind of went on this little stretch of like, oh my gosh, I can see why PUBG can maybe do something here. And this is before it really exploded, and it wasn't me predicting anything, but it just felt like, oh boy, there's some competition in town. And then I started to realize how much that building was part of this, and I hate the building in that game. Like,
you don't
really
like Minecraft?
No. Dude, I mean, sure, Minecraft's fine.
I don't like Minecraft. That's why I'm like, That's what I see when I look at that game.
I don't mind Minecraft for what it is. Stuff. It should stay in Minecraft. Like, that's fine for Minecrafters. Not really that into Minecraft anyway. But this thing, when you're playing a competitive shooter for whoever has the final life in a 100-person battle to the end, and part of it is you stopping and going, I better cut down this here tree and get a little bit of wood and then take out a building. And then the last 10 minutes of the game are just two knuckleheads across some field going pew pew while they're busy putting up a wall. Okay, hurry up and put them up. Okay, I shot through the wall. Okay, put up another wall. I hate it. And I know there's some people that are like freaking genius wizards at it. I know that. And it's fun to watch sometimes to go, man, I don't know how they do that. Anyway, I'm never playing that again. It's my one of my least favorite video game tropes I've ever played. And that's right up there with I hate tower defense. I hate escort missions. And I don't like timers where there's a clock running and I have to finish something before the clock runs out. I hate all those things. But right up in there now is building a wall in Fortnite. F off! I just want to shoot you and duck around a corner that I didn't have to build. So that's me.
I'm with you.
Are you?
Yeah.
Tell me more, Bo. Yep, why do you dislike it so much?
You said it all. It's not good. It's not fun.
John?
It's Minecraft.
John, you can't tell me you actually like that stuff.
It's okay. I mean, I don't play it regularly, but I played it a bit and I enjoyed it. I'm not good at the building. I also don't like it, but there is something funny about seeing a guy alone on the plains and he's just standing there and he's just foraging or doing the floss or whatever they do. And then all of a sudden, one little bullet hits him and just a castle appears out of nowhere and he's just up there ducked in it.
Yeah.
It's the most overreaction to like being shot at you've ever seen in your life. It's hilarious.
I get that when they started doing that thing, I get that they were like carrying over some of the fortress building stuff they had in whatever Fortnite was supposed to be. But man, I just think that was a mistake. And I'll bet you, okay, this is just a me playing armchair quarterback here. But I'll bet you if I could sit down and talk to some Epic devs and say, you guys weren't really thinking about that when you brought that over, right? Like you probably, if you could do it over again, you probably wouldn't have that building stuff in there. And I'll bet they'd say yes. I'll bet they'd agree with me.
It's hard to feel like they'd say yes when they're making so much money and becoming so popular.
Yeah. We'd just like to answer your question, but we're too busy eating dollars.
Yeah, that's true. They're living the large, man. Yes, Bo.
I think they didn't get lucky. They did get lucky. Because the one thing that struck me about PUBG is that game was so not stable.
Yeah.
It was so hard for everyone to play. And it was so... It's not everyone's cup of tea to play like an Arma 2 style game. And those games are very like long, slow, and required method to the aiming and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Fortnite just comes along and I assume that game was really stable. I didn't play it, but it looked like it was like a stable release and
yeah,
a reliable program. And it's still Battle Royale. So.
Right. I think there's something to that. Like it came out polished and because they'd been working on that other game no one cares about that was called Fortnite before this happened. And they had plenty of time to polish it up, make it look good and everything. And so the pivot was just a really smart business decision. I like really admire that. And the timing was right. And you got the zeitgeist and then it's all in your court and they've capitalized on it and done really well. So I don't have any bad feelings towards any of that stuff, but how happy are we that along comes after all of these sort of middling efforts from big to small in the battle royale genre, nothing's really pulled my pork until now. And that game, that's a gross way of saying that. I should never say
it's a good way. I like it. I want to adopt it.
It's not good. As it came out of my mouth, I realized it was kind of gross.
No. Pulled pork is what you put on a sandwich. And so I assume someone at some point pulls the pork to make the pork sandwich. So
that's a reasonable assumption.
Yeah. Why would they call it pulled pork if there was at no point pulling involved of the pork?
No, you're right. It is pulled. My wife made pulled
pork. It's like having smoked salami and like they put it in water instead of smoking it, you know?
This is all a fair point. My wife just made pulled pork. What were they? Oh, enchiladas. And they were amazing. And I ate them over like 4 days because there was tons of it. They were amazing. If you guys haven't had a pulled pork freaking thing, get in there and get at it because so good. Anyway, not the point. The point is we've been playing a lot of Apex Legends. And by we, I mean John and I have been playing a fair amount. And Bo has been playing it non-freaking stop since it came
out. Pretty much the worst game sickness I've had since Overwatch closed beta.
Yeah, which was pretty hairy at the time.
Overwatch was better. I actually stayed up 48 hours straight over the weekend.
Really?
That one.
That's unhealthy. That can kill a person. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, well, you guys are there.
Were we?
Yeah, Scott, we had genuine conversations in Slack about, have you heard from Bo? And it was that, like,
oh yeah,
we oh were God, worried. Are we going to have, are we going to hear something like bad about hours. Our friend?
Yeah, we were, now I remember that. We were worried about you because there was a couple of times there where you were so in there. And all we, you know, all we had to go on were these horror stories from like Chinese internet cafes where, you know, some guy went in there to play Dota 2 in the middle of a Sunday afternoon and nobody found his dead corpse until Tuesday. And he's just slumped over his keyboard going, I finally got
well, Bo's on the East Coast.
Yeah.
We're mountain time. I'm sometimes Pacific, depending on the time of year.
Yeah.
But there will be times where I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing with my life? I have stayed up way too late. I'm a garbage person. Things have gone horrible in my life. I've made bet. Oh, Bo's still playing. I'm good. I'm good. I'll go to bed. I feel great about my life now. But then he would disappear for like an entire day. And you and I would be like, when did you see him last night? I don't know. He was on at like 3 a.m. my time. That's like 6 a.m. his time. I don't know. Where is he? Where is he?
Yeah.
And then he'd pop back up and he'd be like, yeah, guys, I slept for 48 hours. I'm back.
Yeah.
And that would be it.
I mean,
for 48, sleep for 48, like a policeman.
I kind of admire it because I don't know. I wish I could do that. I have too many stupid things I've given myself to do. And I would love to, like last night, it was either me go play video games. Turns out you guys played and I totally should have. I have regrets that I didn't do it instead of what I did. It was either that or I had this thing to write up for a sponsor thing. And that was work and that's fine and all that. And I should do that. But what Bo's learned how to do is still get his daily responsibilities in and fill the rest of it with really quality gaming time. And you're obviously like way improved in that game. You've won 5 times or something. How many total games do you know?
Yeah,
how many?
I'm on five wins.
How many play? How many games played? Do you know? Is there a way to know?
I don't know how many played.
I saw Bo wipe an enemy squad with nothing but his fists.
Whoa. Yep.
That is a true story.
Is that true? Really?
Last night. Yeah, we landed. See, okay, so I'm a big fan of just being aggressive, finding places where people land, and let's go. I need to practice fighting. If you do all this wall hugging and hanging around, you don't get practice doing where it matters most, because you're going to fight, even if you don't fight anyone up to the last people, you've got to know how to fight them. So I got to practice fighting.
Yeah.
So we landed, I think it was 3 other teams. For us. But our first little skirmish was with a squad. Everyone has guns except for me. They're in a building going bang, 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 bang. And I'm just in there going, whoo, whoo, whoo. And who's the last man standing? This guy. And I'm down the mall. And I was like, pow, pow,
pow, pow. Wow.
My fists.
Have you learned how to do the have you done the slide and uppercut thing that's all popular now that you can do?
Haven't pulled off a satisfactory move. I've been practicing, but I haven't. Usually if I'm shooting, once I get guns, I stop that craziness. But
yeah, well, I've
remapped that button to my Q button because right now it's mapped to, what is it mapped to by default? V, I think.
Q. V usually.
Yeah, which is like a really annoying. So I remapped it to T because that's what I use in PlanetSide 2. But I always thought it was awkward there. So I took my tactical ability off Q and I put punch there because punching is way more important than whatever your tactical ability is.
Really?
Yeah, because if you're in a close firefight, you run out of a clip rather than switch weapons or reload. Just get a, it does 30 points of damage. And
I didn't realize
make
that.
A difference.
Yeah. Man. I mean, I see what you mean, because you can be more methodical and slow about when you fire off your tactical. It doesn't have to, it's not like as twitchy as you need to be with punching. That's interesting.
Yeah, just like in close quarters combat, you know, like, because like all the Q abilities, they're like important, but they're not super clutch. And I just moved the Q ability to Tilda.
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton. Tilda. Yep. She's great.
Know, they're the one.
She's the ice princess.
It's not that far. Yeah. So
that's what I'm going to do. I'm changing. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just change it from V to Q and Q to V, because I'll just use V when it's, again, tactically needed. That's not a big deal. And then I'll Q to punch. Ooh, Bo, I like your thinking. I'm going to have to go tweak my business. But you've been playing it a ton. I think one of the most, for me, the most interesting effect of this game, which now claims up to 3 million concurrent players, at any given time, and 25 million people playing it total. That's a lot in a week, like a lot. It is currently ahead of Fortnite and all other games on Twitch, and looks like it will likely be there for a while. We can talk a little bit about, we'll get to that in a second, but Bo informed me of a little thing about their first week that I didn't know. I don't know if it's something that's bad or it's good, but whatever. We live in the time of influencers and streamers, and apparently these guys paid some good money to have a bunch of prominent streamers play the game immediately on launch, and it paid off for them. Like, literally, that looks like it worked.
All the top, like, shooter streamers, I assume they play a lot of Fortnite, PUBG, like, all those guys were paid to play the game for a week. And it was well received by the public, so they're getting tons, like, record subscriber counts. And they're having fun playing the game.
Now they're playing it.
I think it's a confluence of both. It's a really good, really strong marketing plan. Like, we're all, at least I'll speak for only myself, I am definitely, you know, a guinea pig in this marketing scheme, proving its success. And 25 million of you are as well. Like this was not an organic, it felt organic to me. On Tuesday, I came home, I turned on Twitch. I follow like Dr. Mustache or whatever. And
wait, his name is Dr. Mustache?
No. Dr. Gimmicks, Dr. Disrespect.
Oh. All right, I know who you mean now.
Dr. Gimmicks. Okay. I actually like to call him Dr. Gimmicks because, I mean, his whole thing is his gimmicks and I hate it. But then I showed it to my friend Crofton. He was like, I love this. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I get it.
It's a separate tirade about how some Twitch programming is like children's television and it really irritates me.
Yeah.
Children need television too. Anyways, I follow him and he had some game on with like 100,000 viewers and I'm like, Apex Legends. Let's just see what it is.
Yeah.
Click. Oh, it looks. Oh, they're not crawling in grass for 100 hours and it doesn't look depressing and it doesn't look like a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of looks like Planet Side. Yeah. And I didn't know it was a Titanfall game. It just kind of had like a sci-fi. They've got special ability. What is this game? Let me play it. And boom, next thing you know, fast forward a week later, I've played, you know, probably hundreds of games by this point.
Yeah.
And that happened to all of us.
Yeah. No, it just took me over. I know John's been playing a lot
too. The original point was that this was part of a marketing scheme.
Right.
To say, like, there's not going to be, well, you know, Blizzard, they got a lot of, you know, this is a common feedback you see in Reddit. They didn't advertise Heroes enough. I'm like, they didn't advertise Apex at all. They just gave it to the top streamers. And the top streamers liked the game. I also since discovered that the top streamers were invited into closed alphas.
Yeah, some time ago they had to shut up about it. Yeah.
So the game was designed with the intent to please the top streamers who are there to influence and taste make. And thus there's like all these dominoes lined up in a row, the way this game was developed, the genre they picked to make it in. Obviously people are crazy about battle royales. And then the hype plan that followed. And it's still going on.
And I'd say it worked. Nice job, guys. You pulled it off.
Yeah.
I mean, they also pulled the other gimmick, which is, hey, we're announcing a game. It's out right now.
Yeah.
Which can also be very effective.
It can be. Sometimes that's bad because, well, okay, there's a combination of factors here I think that are important. It's Respawn Entertainment. They have a name for themselves. People know what that is.
Right.
You hear that and you go, ooh, ex-Call of Duty. They did it all. They changed the world. Then they went and did Titanfall. Cool games. Okay, awesome. What are they up to? They had that going for them. I think they they had the immediate recognition of being Respawn Entertainment, so that all mattered. And then this other stuff Bo's talking about, and a lot of money to throw at it to sort of kick it out the door like that. I think it's kind of genius that they pulled it off as strongly as they did. I'm not sure if this exceeded their expectations. I'll bet it did in terms of numbers. But what surprised me the most is how polished it is. Normally I expect a video game, whether it drops today or in 6 months when they announce it or whatever, I expect it to have some issues, especially a living, breathing, multiplayer focused game like this. Balance is everything. Fixing bugs is everything. Like, they're going to have a huge list of things they need to accomplish. And if they get to it, they'll have other stuff. Like we always talked about in Heroes, maybe we get a map editor one day, but it's always on this list way over there. And this game feels like it came out with most of the list done. And then some in there I didn't even know I wanted, like three squad jumps together and one guy steers you unless you want to peel off. I think that's a brilliant way to do it and keep people together more than you would otherwise. I also think that the ping system is short of genius. It's incredibly intuitive and adaptive. And if you're doing comms and the ping system together, you end up with just like the most full communication I've seen in a game in a very long time. In fact, I can't actually think of one that does this better. It's really, really strong. And then you also have an incredible shooter legacy with Respawn Entertainment. They know how to make guns feel good. They know how to make traversal and running and jumping and sliding feel good. And all of that stuff kind of came together to make it so for the first time in Origins history, we all have that stupid launcher on our desktops again. Like we pulled it out, we blew it off, went, all right, I got to do this for freaking Dragon Age 3. But as soon as I'm done with that, out you go. Like
I like to picture some guy at Origin just had to call up his boss. He was like, Dave, what do I do? The light's on.
It says there's more than 10 people here. Wait, what? No one told me. Yeah,
there's people in Origin. I don't.
That's what I'm saying. Like they somehow got us all to install Origin again, and that's just the PC base. The console versions are good. I played the PS4 one just to test it to see it. Looked great. Played great for a controller based console game, and yeah, and also it's put EA in a better light. Not weirdly. You put out a good product, and everybody goes, oh, yeah.
I mean, let's
for now,
let's take a moment to, acknowledge that EA is making news for putting out a game instead of canceling one. And, you know, maybe not get too excited about the publishers, considering what we will be talking about next. Mm-hmm. But I will say, on a more personal level, because I don't want to talk about EA. Yeah. Complicated feelings with EA.
Right.
But I'm so happy for Respawn.
Yeah.
Because I kind of feel like they deserve this. They deserve a win. They made Titanfall. It was great. And it was received okay. They made Titanfall 2, which by most accounts and the time I've played it, because I've been going through the campaign recently, is really good.
Yeah.
And almost nobody played that game because of when it came out.
Yep.
So them finally kind of having a hit, I'm super happy for those people there. Like, I kind of feel like, good job. They've had this coming for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the people, some of the people, not all the people, but the people who set the world on fire with Call of Duty 4.
Yeah. No, it's them. It's those guys, when they left, they took those minds with them. And this is them, making good on all that experience. And it's pretty impressive. But Bo, I sense that you think the fad could end tomorrow or could end. I don't think it'll be tomorrow. The game's growing too fast, too quickly here. But do you think it's all a little too much hype, too much excitement too early? Do you think they're going to,
I think for me, it's definitely. So I've had a game where I've played to get better at it, improve and play competitively for like 4 years. And that's looking like that's going to start taking a back seat in terms of my playtime.
Yeah.
And Apex is filling that spot right now of that game that it's the same game. I've been playing it 7 days in a row. Like, no one plays Witcher 3 and is like, I'm better this week than I was last week at Witcher. Like, no, you don't play games like that, right? So this is my, like, get better at it game. But in the past, I've played lots of shooters and, like, Overwatch. I think Overwatch is a great game, but I played it hardcore for a month or two and then just ever really log in. Like, I was done with it. And so for me, I'm kind of like, shooters do have a limited shelf life for me, and I think they will for a lot of people too, but could be wrong. I mean, it's the only good version of a battle royale that's ever been made.
Ooh, look at that. Some hardcore.
Like, we've had some good times and some laughs in it, but I don't want to tummy crawl across grass every day. And that's my game. I'm so good at crawling across this grass. Like,
I get the fun of a stealthy approach to these games. I don't necessarily decry, like, the PUBG players. They're definitely got a game that is specifically suited for more of that methodic, slow, kind of intense and quiet and hide in the house a lot longer kind of game experience. Whereas Fortnite is more like, here we go, everybody, and just start shooting each other in the head and jumping around like idiots. I also don't think the guns are very good in that game. But
building castles.
Building castles, sure. But then this thing just feels like, I don't know, just feels like a good game. Like
it feels like the natural evolution of the genre.
Yeah.
Like, as weird as that is to say, it kind of just sounds buzzwordy, but I mean, it has the things that I like about all the games that I played leading up to this. And they managed to put it all together in a way that makes sense.
Right.
You know, PUBG was very slow. It was a lot of crawling. We've replaced crawling now with sliding, which feels freaking amazing to just go sliding down hills. I want to slide all the time. And then physics comes in and goes, you can't slide upstairs. I'm like, well, I can try.
Just wait until they add Genji to the game. He'll be all right.
And so they took the system in PUBG where you have all these upgrades for guns. And when I first got in and I saw that there were upgrades for your guns and all that, I went, ugh, I hate this. Mm. Because in PUBG, I just pick everything up and then I open my backpack and I start right clicking things. It's like, can I use this? Can I use this? No. Okay. I'll just throw the shit on the ground and keep going.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
And this has a really smart system that at a glance communicates to you. Do you need it? Is it useful? What does it do for you?
Yeah.
And it has all that information presented to you and you pick it up and it puts it on automatically. You just don't have to worry about that. And it's just like, you know, it is what World of Warcraft was to MMOs when it came out. It was somebody coming in and looking at a genre that had all these weird tropes and all these weird histories and said, why are we doing all this? Yeah. What if we did it this way? And everyone went, oh yeah, I guess you could.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this feels like at this point.
I agree. It's got all kinds of, everyone says quality of life improvements. I would say that that's true, but I think it goes deeper than that. I think the whole package at launch is more complete than any of these Battle Royale games. They just don't have the feature set that it has at launch. The only thing missing maybe as compared to, because it's got a little Overwatch in it, in that it's a character shooter. The rest of those games are kind of not that way. So that's one of the things that's new here. There aren't a ton of those yet. They're going to be adding more all the time. That's great. More maps are on the way. Other game types are on the way. But at launch, there's just more done and finished and polished and ready to play than any of these others have been or even in their current state. So
yeah, it's impressive how little there is of it. Like 8 heroes on a map.
Yeah, no, like, honestly, it's a map and 8
like
heroes.
16 guns. Like, not even that many guns. Mm-hmm. There's the maps are 80% Mozambiques and then the rest of the weapons.
Yeah. No, you're right. There's a lot of Mozambiques out there. But it's, I would agree. Chat room saying Blackout was feature complete. I agree. It didn't
Blackout's exceed... not a Battle Royale game. It's a feature of another game.
Well, yeah. But I don't have a problem with that because I actually think the Battle Royale will one day just be a mode for games. Like,
right.
Capture the Flag or freaking Deathmatch was back in the day, or the Team Fortress mod I played on in Quake became its own game. Like, I can see those things starting. We're at one of those kind of moments right now with Battle Royale as a genre. I don't think it becomes the only thing you do. I mean, I don't know. It hasn't played out yet, so who knows?
But it is. Like I take your point that it is like a game mode in a shooter, but like, that's all anybody wants is the Battle Royale experience. Like, whether it was H1Z1 or Fortnite or whatever, like, they may offer other stuff in there, but people just want a Battle Royale game and that to be the main course and dessert and everything, the A to Z of it. So,
right.
Like, I don't know. That's why I look at it and it's like Call of Duty. And I'm like, well, I'm going to buy a whole game just to play part of the game. Like,
remember that game also had, that game had no campaign. It has that's one of the main points of it. It's just got their you know, the multiplayer
like
they're known for.
How hard could it have been to
it's
add?
Got Deathmatch, Battle Royale, and Zombies.
Yeah, that's it. And the zombie mode is very popular, and so is their traditional mode. I actually think they kind of have the right idea. I'm just saying that their Battle Royale mode, which is very popular, it's up there, didn't take enough risks, didn't do enough new, didn't take it in new enough places. And that's why,
it could just be that they didn't engage the streamers.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, I really feel like Apex is a product of the time we live in gaming.
Mm.
Like, it could even be a worse game than we give it, but it's just because it's the happening party and it's a lot of fun. I mean, there's a lot of good things to it, But like, if it was a bad game and they all did this, it would just be transparent. But I just think our enjoyment of it has a lot to do with the public consciousness in gaming culture.
Like, that could be. I mean, it didn't really enter my zeitgeist. I knew about it, but Scott, you are literally the only person I saw streaming it. Not saying you're the only one who streamed it, but in my world of people that I follow and engage with and all of that, you're the only person I know.
Yeah, I kind of got right on it early.
I learned who Shroud was because I've never heard of Shroud. Apparently that's crazy because he's been around for a while. I've been watching this guy every day now because he's basically one of the best, if not the best. And you guys know the bunker? It's a long hallway. There's nowhere to strafe.
Yeah.
So when three guys show up at the other end shooting you, you probably die, right?
Yeah, you're going to die.
What happens if you run at them with a shotgun and try and kill all three of them while they're shooting at you? You probably die.
Probably right? die, but not Shroud.
I watched that guy not die and run up to them and shoot all three of them with a shotgun. I'm like, what? It's incredible. It's like, it's actually like watching somebody, you know, a busker juggling and being on a unicycle or something. Like, it's also just fascinating to watch people that are really good at it. So I think it's a confluence of the showmanship around the game that is helping to also bring people to it.
Well, no doubt about it. I like my induction was nothing to do with streamers. I didn't see anybody. I don't really follow Dr. Mustache and others. It's just not really my bag, but I listen to a lot of podcasts. I also pay huge attention to every ounce of gaming news that happens on any given day. And the minute I heard that there were rumors that Respawn was about to poop something out that was Battle Royale related, I was like, ooh, watching for this, and got it as immediately as I could. But I think you're right. This isn't me disagreeing. I think my old way of learning about it still works. It's still out there, and they still conquered that. But this new way, which is hundreds of thousands and millions of people following certain people who are masters of these games, and as soon as they touch a thing, everyone else goes out and gets it. I think that's what did it this time. And it's important to mention this, though. If that game sucked, this would be a big fiasco right now. The fact that a bunch of players are like, yeah, I'm playing this game, and I don't know how much, you know, there's always these questions about influencers, how honest they can be or what they can or can't say, or, you know, there's a lot of controversy about that. But the fact that this is so good to back up all of that push is the key. If this wasn't a good game, I don't care who's streaming it, I wouldn't play it. I just wouldn't play it. Or I would have burned out already or moved on to something else, or it's too beta or whatever. But this is actually like really good. Out of the gate, like, ready to roll.
Like, shockingly good, because I mean, we're on the record. Everyone here has listened to one of our shows before. I know I've said I hate Battle Royale games at some point. I don't want to play them. Like, it's just gross, whatever, it's a fad. I'm playing one nonstop for some damn reason. It's the most hypocritical thing, but I'm like, well, I'm enjoying it, so nothing wrong with it. It's gaming. If you're having fun, you're having fun.
Yeah, and it's
wild. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Now, like, if I were playing it. If I were Blizzard, who we're going
to
talk about in a second, I would be annoyed.
Yes.
I noticed there's someone sneaking around in the chat who's actually from there. So he can pipe up if he wants. But I would be annoyed if I were Blizzard, not because of all this other stuff we're going to talk about, but just on some fundamental level. The way Blizzard builds video games is so methodical. I keep using the word methodical, but they're so slow to get there. Not in a bad way. It's always been good. It's this long, polishing, iterative approach to video games, and they don't release them unless they're done. And if they're not working out, even if they're well in development, they will cancel them outright. And then if they salvage it at all, whatever ends up happening is a huge hit, and they always hit, and it's always successful. When they put a new IP out into the world, it's a huge deal, but it's not the kind of process that's very fluid. It's not very pivoty. It doesn't move and sway with the winds of the industry. It's often them just knowing the best thing to do and going and doing it. And I think for a very long time that served them really well, and in some ways still serves them and may still serve them in the future. But this particular boat got missed. Not because they wouldn't want to take advantage of it. Not that Blizzard couldn't make the best Battle Royale game of all time. It's entirely possible. But I don't think they have the fluidity to do that. Nor would they want to, because they don't want to just shove something out into market. I don't know how long these guys have been working on it over there at Respawn. It makes it, the game's so well put together, it makes me think it's a very long time, but it may not be. They may have really just taken whatever they were working on with Titanfall 3 and said, well, let's integrate a bunch of this, take out the Titans because that's not going to work. Traversal stuff can't be quite as crazy, but we'll still make things climbable, blah, blah, blah. All right, cool. What other systems do we need? Like Bo says, they had, you know, people come in and give them feedback on what they wanted to see, some of the pro scene, like all of that. I don't know what that represents. Is that a year? Is that 2 years? Like, I don't know. Blizzard hasn't done that kind of agility based programming or based development. And because they haven't, Fortnite comes out of nowhere and bites everybody in the ass, including Blizzard. And then to compound it, they're having a rough time right now. And along comes this thing again, out of nowhere, again, from a rival publisher that they've in years past been able to keep clamped down. They haven't given EA much room to breathe. And bam, here's this thing out of nowhere that's just obliterating Overwatch's position in the top 10 on Twitch and other ways of sort of looking at this. So I don't know what any of that means. And if I'm just farting out of my butt here, but
you're right to identify the tension between agile and frequent releases versus let's really make a great game, because the way that gaming really works right now, it's very fad based. It's very what's on Twitch. And then the people who watch Twitch tell the people who don't watch Twitch, and you know, whatever's in the zeitgeist, whatever's big, whoever Drake is playing with, you know, like that's the game you should be playing. And that's like the way the community tends to think. It's a bit of a popularity and fad contest. Yeah. So when you make games that are like, I'm not building a shitty sword, I'm building Excalibur, it's going to take many years. And, you know, when it's new, it's going to be great. But we built this thing to be around forever. It's not going to be exciting once you've seen Excalibur like 1,000 times, you know?
Yeah, and it infiltrates the discussion in a way that's kind of natural. And, you know, I'm aware of it, and I've definitely done my part. I work with somebody who loves Fortnite. He talks about Fortnite all the time. He's the reason when you said, John, you don't actually like Fortnite. And I was like, I kind of do. It's because he convinced me to play a couple times. And right. I was like, yeah, I had a good time.
Right.
I went in there. I was having a conversation with him. I said, you trying the new Apex Legends? He's like, I played one game. I don't know. I don't know if it's for me. I think I'm going to just stick with Fortnite. And my reaction was essentially, all right, grandpa, you sit there and floss while I'm going to go be a effing legend and walk out of the room. You know, it does become this sort of natural tribal discussion of like, oh, you're not on the in thing. I guess you like being awful. You know, and it's obnoxious to look at it from that perspective, but it is kind of the way these things move now. You know, a lot of people want to be on that cutting edge along with these games when they come out. I want to be in while everybody's talking about it and having a good time. I don't want to be the guy that's just now going, you guys heard about this Fortnite?
They don't want to be the guys doing a Heroes of the Storm podcast.
No, yeah. Ooh, zing. Too soon. But, and I think John makes a good point. I don't know. Like, and this isn't just a Blizzard problem, I would remind everybody. The entire industry took a hit from their dominance. That dominance has caused stock prices to drop for everybody else in the business, save a few. And when it comes to companies like EA, they were already suffering from a disruption like Fortnite does to their business. And they just happen to be the lucky ones that figure out a way to subvert it and bring in something new and have everybody kind of jump over. So Battle Royale is causing headaches for everybody, dude. Like straight across.
But that being said, I don't think Blizzard should change its philosophy or adapt to this. That's just not their thing. Like, keep in mind, they're that for World of Warcraft. That game still, makes tons of money. People have put up a ton of MMOs. They can't touch that light. You know, they're the older brother saying, hey, can't touch it, can't touch it. I'm holding up here.
Yeah.
And so, to me, and, you know, I can armchair my opinions all day. It really doesn't matter that much. But it would be really great if being leaders in that particular genre, if they can make another of that untouchable thing. Because what other companies can't do is make a really big, complex, evolved world that builds communities that last a long time. And I think that's where it's, you know, that company's real strength lies. So I don't know. As we say, we should be irritated, but if you're going to make a little card game like Hearthstone that is going. It is. I mean, I don't mean little as in it's not good. I mean little as in it's like it's very simplistic, I guess, just from what it is. You log in, you play some card game. You know, there are 100 card games now on Steam. Everyone's made a card game. I mean, you get an illustrator, you get a guy who knows some mechanics. Boom, you got a card game. You get a programmer. You know, like it's Slay the Spire is amazing. I play that way more than I play Hearthstone. I'm like, I wish this was in Hearthstone.
You don't even need good art. Spire.
Yeah. You don't. Like that's true. I wish I had the worst artist from Blizzard was working on Slay the Spire. Because my gosh, dude.
Like, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, I think if you're just looking to have some diamond that's very shiny that others can't have, it's, you know, it's hard to do. What is it when you're first in the door, you might not get credit than the guy who stands on your shoulders, like when you're a pioneer?
Yeah, that's true.
So in a way, Blizzard pioneers genres in terms of, no, you can do a card game and make it look really amazing and sweet. And everyone's like, oh, you can. Sweet. Thanks, Blizzard. Yeah. Anyways, you know, or whatever, Overwatch. Oh, you can make a team-based shooter that is super popular. I thought TF2 was just a niche interest.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go. Now everyone's got, every character in every game has a Q ability. Every shooter, they all have, everyone's gonna have a queue to, like, how hard it is to implement that kind of stuff. I mean, it takes work and time, but it's not unattainable for a lot of people already developing games.
No, Blizzard sets those trends. Like, there's no
World
question.
Of Warcraft is unattainable. What it is unattainable, and that's where it can do things that no other company can do.
Right.
And I think we look at the other games through that lens a little bit.
Sure.
Like, they're a company that can do what other companies can't do. So these games should not fail, or they should not experience lulls, but they do. And it's sad to see over, like, it's sad. It's just that whole situation's not great.
Well, we're going to talk about that situation.
Apex
now
is fun.
Let's talk about it. Apex is fun, but let's talk about this. All right. We're going to transition to I guess the talk of the week in our circles, in the kind of PC gamers we are, and that is the, how do I put this? The sudden demise of 800 jobs at Blizzard, the reasons why, not just Blizzard, Activision Blizzard, so kind of spread across, although a lot of people I know personally were hit at Blizzard, and this is the biggest set of layoffs since their 2012 series of layoffs, which I think was 600 people. Circumstances there were a little bit different, and the way they reshuffled things was a little bit different, but we're now at a different place with Blizzard. We have new management, new leadership, brand new $15 million CFO that was hired that a lot of people are pissed about. But I wanted to start with just the raw math, okay? We're going to have some emotions about this, certainly. I suspect the instance this week will be the high point of the emotional mixing of emotion and business. So we won't do as much of that here, but I think it's important to lay the groundwork and say, this is what mathematically we're talking about. And then we can talk about why this feels so personal, why it affects us as creators and as those who are perhaps most affiliated with what I would call community teams and groups at Blizzard, and why it, you know, has been a real bummer week for me in particular, with a couple of people I know. In fact, I'm just going to say it now. We need to give like a shout out, giant tribute to Lashes, Bethany, who was our contact at Blizzard for Heroes of the Storm stuff. I don't think I've ever met anybody as motivated, as passionate, as excited, worked as hard as Bethany did for Blizzard. And it really burns my cheese that she's not there now. I hope they take care of her with a good severance package. I hope they help her with, everything that it takes to move these people out and around. And I hope immediately somebody out there picks her up because, dude, she's worth her weight in gold. She's amazing. And I don't know that there's any dissent on this team about that. Bethany was like,
not at all. She's the face of Blizzard as far as I'm concerned in terms of my relationship with them.
Yeah.
Like, she is Blizzard to me. I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing over there? Like,
yeah. She should have been put someplace else because she's that good. She's also one of the sweetest people I've ever met. Like, she's just the nicest human being, and
as in terms of, like, I don't know how these things are evaluated internally, and certainly we don't spend our time talking on the show about the community managers and giving them performance evaluations from various companies. But as far as community managers go, she's the best.
Yeah.
And I just always get a sense of genuine passion for all the people that she has a relationship with through the games, and also a passion for the game and for the company. And I don't know why you would want to let someone like that go.
I don't either, except that she was just on the wrong team, I guess, you know, because some of the teams didn't get hit as hard. I know the WoW team did okay, which I'm really happy to hear about. Also, I know a lot of people on that team, but some of them were affected in certain ways. There's some esports people that were hit, PR people, marketing people. None of these were dev jobs that were lost. And I know a lot of people listening to this tonight or on the podcast have heard a lot of this already. You've already kind of caught up on what's been happening and reading the coverage and everything. So hopefully we're not being too repetitive for you folks, but let's break down the basics. They had their quarter four earnings, their fourth quarter earnings. And immediately Bobby Kotick said, we had the best quarter we've ever had profit wise. And that's true. Their earnings per share exceeded expectations by 1 cent. That may sound like a lot, but for shareholders, that's a big deal to match and then beat what you thought you were going
to
do.
Their expectations were to be profitable. What was the expectation?
The expectation is that they would hit $1.28 per share, and they hit $1.29. So that is exceeding expectations.
Okay. You know, sometimes you can keep your expectations low. Were these low or good expectations?
These are, see, the way it's my understanding, the way things work in this level of public company management, you have what's called guidance. And the guidance is you saying, hey, next quarter, we think we're going to do this. Apple does it. Everybody does it. They say, we're going to do this, and this is why we think we're going to do that. And we're announcing these products and these products, and we also expect this sector to grow. We expect this one to have a loss or to shrink, but we're going to make up for that with this, blah, blah, blah. So based on that guidance, quote unquote, you end up in the end with whatever the predictions are. And the predictions are what the investors base their decision to buy or sell shares on. So if somebody says, hey, we expect to have a great quarter, and they've been consistent when they've said they were going to do that, then you as an investor would feel comfortable investing more money in them because they have paid off before. They should pay off again. In this particular case, they met their expectations and then exceeded it a little bit with revenue of $2.84 billion. But that still missed their overall total expectation they were aiming for, which was $3.04 billion. That may sound confusing, but they were aiming for $3 billion. They got $2.84 billion, whatever.
Oh, time to fire some people.
Right.
I see.
Now, this is the part where I think we have to be level-headed about it because it's impossible for me to separate my personal feelings from it because I've known Blizzard and the people behind Blizzard and stuff for way too long. Like, a huge portion of my life has been... In the beginning, just an absolute slavish fan to their work, up till today, where I create multiple things for it, and like you could argue, my entire podcasting career is due to my slavish love for Blizzard and their rad stuff. So it's impossible for me to like separate that. I can't do it. However, I will say this: guidance for the future is bad. They have no game coming out this year. So 2019, they've said this on the thing, on the call, and they've clarified it since. No new games to launch. They've got stuff they're all working on, but nothing in 2019. So what does that tell investors? Uh-oh, that's bad. That means we're not going to be making money the way that we were. So even though we hit those expectations and even exceeded them by a cent in terms of per share, the next time around, you're not going to do that. And they know that because Activision and Blizzard have to say that. They have to do it. It's the legal thing they have to do. They have to say, yeah, we've seen drops in all of these revenues. This game's not doing it anymore. This game's not doing it anymore. Sometimes they get more granular than other times, but a lot of times it's just straight up, we're not going to meet expectations, or we're going to be year over year this much lower. And they can blame that on Fortnite. They can blame it on market conditions, or don't have to blame it on anything. They just know what their future is going to be, again, in that guidance stuff. And because that guidance is so low, the thinking is, again, not sure if I would have done it this way. I prefer the Nintendo way when the CEO and the creative officer both took like 50% pay cuts to get through a rough period. I kind of wish they would do that. But they did what 99%...
You wish they'd lead responsibly?
Well, yes, but it's 99% of companies do this. I'm not saying that justifies it. I'm just saying... they're in the norm here. And they said, well, the way we'll do it is we cut down on the bodies in places where we're not using them, don't need them as much, or whatever the reason for the emphasis is, and we're going to refocus, and they're actually going to make hires in other areas where they do expect to make additional revenue. So that's the math of it. The emotion of it is very different. Because, yeah. But it's, well, isn't it? Oh, here, let me ask you this, Bo. Because clearly, you
some stuff out because some people got some pretty hefty bonuses, right? I guess mentioned that with the Iwata thing, but
well, yeah, like
I mean, that's the narrative going on right now in the press, anyways, which is like, yeah, but you have the money and you can weather a year.
Oh, they could have totally done. Yeah, no question about that. Like, they could have totally done that, and they just spent $15 million to sign that freaking CFO. Money alone would have paid for all these people's paychecks and then some.
Isn't there a Charlie somewhere in the building that you could just promote to that position and save yourself $15 million, who's like really just pretty close to being a CFO? Like,
yeah,
did it have pretty to close be that guy to
being a CFO?
Well, they have people. They have a financial department filled with people who are working there. As someone could rise up within the ranks.
Good news, everybody! Old Charlie is an official CFO.
From what I've heard about,
this week.
I don't know what I'm talking about, so it's all out of my butt. But there are people who, you know, that you can hire or train from within and save yourself $15 million.
I don't disagree. However, it's almost like a separate conversation, and I'm not saying it's not a valid one. It is one, but it would almost be a whole other show.
Statement. They lead responsibly.
Oh no! See,
greedily.
This is where you and I agree. This is where you and I totally agree, because there is a separate conversation about how businesses run at those levels, and is it shitty? And I think it is shitty. They're doing this in a shitty way, and here's where my biggest loss from all of this comes from. It isn't so much that it's out of the norm, because it isn't. It isn't because this isn't how business is done all the time, because it is. What my problem lies in is this is Blizzard, where every voice matters. Gameplay first. Their whole list of stuff that they always, you know, everyone always repeats. That stuff's not being adhered to in this particular case. And
it's all in the public eye, which has got to be handled. They're getting rid of their PR team.
Right. No, exactly.
They're like, we made a PR fiasco. Where's the PR people?
Well, they have PR people still. But the bigger point I wanted to make is this is an emotional severance package for us as players. And yes, it's not in a good way. This is them taking 27 years of goodwill, whether that was overblown by us or artificially amplified, or we had rose-colored glasses on, whatever you want to say, we held them here this week, and I would say the last couple of months have brought them here. It's brought them low, and I don't know how you repair that, other than time and proving it.
I mean, it's hard to get in here and talk about it now. And I think that's why you wanted to focus so much on numbers. But so I think for me, just to say my piece, because I honestly, I'm still maybe a little too close to it to speak on the matter, super unbiased and neutral. But at the end of the day, you have people who were dedicated, hard workers, some of the best workers I've ever seen do any job. You know, we mentioned Bethany earlier. I wish I was as dedicated to anything as she was to her job.
Yeah.
And you can say all the numbers in the world, and you can say, well, here's what we're giving people, you know, as severance, and here's what we're giving people to try and make it right and to try and help them transition into the next career that they pursue. But at the end of the day, for a lot of these people, this was their dream. This was them hitting the thing that they have always wanted to do. And I think even, you know, I won't speak for either of you, but there was a time where I was like, oh my gosh, what if one day I worked for a company like Blizzard?
Yeah.
And I recognize these as the words of a naive man that thinks that there's some magical land where business doesn't work the way business works. But it was still like a dream and an idea and this like, oh, we could do something cool and we could do something creative and it would be a place where imagination and creativity and individuality was, you know, celebrated rather than stomped down. How amazing would this be? And they just took a dump on all those dreams. So it doesn't really matter how great the severance package is or how you swing the numbers to justify it. It's people who lost their job, who in many cases lost out on things they dreamed of and wanted to do and wanted to pursue their whole life. And now not only have to go looking for new work, but also have to reconcile the fact that that thing that was so magical and so great that they attained, turned their back on them.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
I agree. I can't disagree with that. Because that's my chief problem in all of this. Like, I understand how this stuff works. I don't like hyperbole, but I don't think it's hyperbole to say I feel like they broke the contract. But not just with their people, with us. And if it was just our perception, well, then they made a lot of money on our perception for many, many years by not giving us an accurate perception. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if it was always like this and they were just lucky enough to never not have a hit and lead the entire time, but they were always ready to drop the axe in such a way, well, then maybe we should have been let in on that. Otherwise, we've been led to believe, just watch an intro to a BlizzCon. I mean, it makes it sound like we're all naive. We're not. We're normal people who have perception. We know what's what. I just really hoped in this case it would be handled differently. I don't know how much of that to lay at the feet of Bobby Kotick and freaking Activision and whatever parent company role they took here and not lay at the feet of actual Blizzard leadership. I don't know. That's part of the problem, is I don't actually know really who to blame. But I do feel like that them saying, well, we had the best year ever, but we didn't do as well as we could have. Here's 800 people getting hacked. That's a little like saying, we made a lot of money, we didn't make all the money, so here's 800 people goodbye. Like, it's, I don't want to oversimplify it, but that's how it feels as a lifelong fan of Blizzard.
That's the story we're seeing from what is being reported to us. I mean, it really feels like to me a little bit that it's not coincidental that Mike Morhaime triggered all the series of events.
I don't know if he triggered it, but I think maybe he got it out.
There's a series of events happened right after Mike leaving, which resulted in, you know, possibly a faction waiting for the old guy to go so we can move in and make the changes we want to make. Now there's a new political faction within the company, and now they're setting things in the direction they want, and that includes the stuff you're seeing right now.
Yeah.
And it's aggressive for a company known with a reputation to sort of be counter. Because I think the point you want to make is big corporations have these layoffs all the time, and it sucks when you're the one cut, but also it's a regular thing, even if it doesn't make the news. I've been on the other side of the coin, not the firing person, but the one, you know, giving those talks and having those conversations behind closed doors. Might not be the last one. There's a cleaning up of house going on. It's pretty clear from the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
That, and it might be a good direction.
It might, you know,
at the end of the day, Diablo 4 might just change the world and we might love it. Or whoever, who knows what else is coming down the pipeline.
Yeah.
But
I just know we won't get it this year for sure. But
it just still sucks. And I think part of it is we know that Heroes was hit hard by the cut of the HGC. Now that we have personal ties to people who've worked on that team, feels like they're getting kicked in the nuts again. And it's people we know and care about and wish the opposite of. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just feels like that's the time to do it. You change leadership. That's when you make the. When you become the leader, the new leader, and you're taking power from someone else, that's the time to kick as many people in the nuts as you can, because they'll understand that to be part of the sea change.
Right.
And then you can't do it 12 months later, 24 months later, that kind of thing, because that breaks morale. You got to
tear the Band-Aid off. I get it. But some of the chat room are saying they don't owe you anything. This is business. You're naive to think that there was a contract or whatever. I'm not saying that. Everyone's missing my point if that's what you think. What I'm saying is, and I thought it was clear, I totally get all that. You're right. It's not. I'm saying that it still feels like a betrayal, whether it is or isn't. It still feels like one.
Sure.
And yeah, feeling is everything. Perception's everything, and player's perception is everything. So,
I mean, the ultimate irony here is that we're, you know, Blizzard, everyone's talking about Blizzard now, and there, a lot of people are down and jumping on that. At the same time, we're playing Apex.
Yeah.
EA, with EA, the most downvoted company's post on Reddit. EA, who has pay-to-win loot boxes. EA, who ruined BioWare. EA, who's like just sucks because they suck and everyone there sucks and they all want to make money. Screw EA. And you know what I mean? Now it's like Apex is the best game ever. Yeah, what's EA?
They, thanks EA. That's sweet. Thanks for Origin. This like, is good.
Like, you know, hopefully a lot of the people who got terminated, this is a tough time for them, but they will find, I mean, gamers are gamers, and if anything, I love Blizzard games, but I play games from other companies and they all do too. So you know, something shuts a window, you open a door, that kind of thing. Like so I think, you know,
one guy farts, the other guy burps. That's how you know you're
exactly
going.
Just, so that's just how it works. Mm-hmm. That's
I'm still hopeful that we have some good stuff. To me, the big thing for Blizzard is I just really wanted them to get back to, I think a lot of people felt like the community aspect is missing, and that the, and that we're experiencing termination of people who do work in that area to focus on game development. And if that's the future for Activision Blizzard and their games, then that fan base, because a lot of the people who I know who are fans of Blizzard games value each other and their friendships and their communities, and they don't play the latest games and try to be the coolest. They're like, how are you doing? You getting along okay? Everyone's super nice. The Frog Pants community, made up of a lot of members who play Blizzard games, have shown me undue courtesy and respect and caring towards me to the point of like shame, where I'm like, I'm not that great of a person. You guys are really humbling me. And you don't, you know, if I was going to hang out with an Apex crew, they'd be like, oh, you suck or what? You know, like, it's just they have a community of people that are genuine and caring. Yeah. And so if they're going to make that switch to just make dick games like other companies, then they're going to lose that.
Or at the very least, if they have them, if they have a moment like they're having, you have to expect the separation of the emotional impact is going to be greater than it is if we find out EA canceled the Star Wars game they were working on. Like, that came and went. People went meh on the internet, and then that was it. No one talked about it again. When this happens, something like this happens with Blizzard, it is ripples across the community because they are, this is a kinder, gentler community. I know there's a lot of a-holes in it. I'm not talking blanket here. There's always outliers, but for the most part, I think Bo's right. And it, and when you pull that out, you pull that rug out, it's just like, holy shit, what? Not you, et tu, Brute? It's like freaking, you know, growing up on Bill Cosby records and then finding out about all the raping he does, you know? It's like, like, you're the best, you're the funniest guy I ever heard, and then the whole time, raping, you know? It's hard to, I'm not saying, it's not a comparison that's fair.
I think we went too far.
Maybe. But my point stands, which is you've taken a heroic figure, in this case a company, and you've tarnished it. You just straight up tarnished it. Whether it was Blizzard, whether it was Activision, whether it was Inevitable, whether it's shareholders, whatever it is, the tarnish exists, and you just can't ignore it and go, well, this is how business is done. Don't like it. Move on. Okay, all right. We could be that way about anything. Oh, this burger's weird. Yeah, well, that's the way it is. Sometimes burger's weird.
This is food.
Sorry, I can't help it. The
there's nothing more useful than the person who just stands on the corner and points out how things work.
Yeah.
Like, when you just go, oh, it's cold outside, and they go, yeah, maybe you should put on a jacket.
Yeah, you know what?
Okay, thanks. You are the most helpful person in the world.
Right. Nobody likes that. Nobody wants it. All right. Well,
anyways, I hope for good things for them in the future. It sucks for everyone who was affected, but I still have faith. I have faith that things will right themselves, hopefully.
This is what Activision's operating chief said. Our restructuring plan sheds investment in less productive, non-strategic areas of our business and will result in a net headcount reduction of approximately 8%, which is about 800 people, while also driving significant increase in investment focus and capabilities around our biggest franchises. Then claimed that they would increase investment, increase the number of developers working on games by 20% this year, while focusing on live services, esports, and successful franchises, and they use these names: Candy Crush, Call of Duty, Overwatch, Warcraft, Diablo, and Hearthstone. Note they did not put Heroes of the Storm in that list. Those bastards. Anyway, so yeah, they are going to invest in new hires for existing and new products. And also they talked, hey, John, they talked a lot about how mobile is hot and coming big time for them. And so you're excited really? About that.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah. And so look forward to that.
It's almost like like with this show, I will go where the interesting games are.
Look, I said I wasn't going to play be that into a Battle Royale game, and now I am.
Yeah, look at you now.
I haven't found the right game for you, John.
Mm-hmm. Prove me wrong, mobile. Mm-hmm. I welcome it. If there's a mobile game out there just waiting to exist that I'm going to fall in love with and go, guys, mobile gaming, turns out, is where it's at, I welcome it. Come forward. I love new gameplay experiences. I would love to play a good game. The problem is it doesn't exist on mobile yet. I don't think any of you can do it. Yeah. So prove me wrong.
I've heard how much you hate Fortnite, but look at the turnaround there.
Oh. Hmm. And by the way, if anybody is about to say, well, just wait for Diablo Immortal, I've played it. I'll keep waiting. Thank you.
Oh, that's pretty hardcore, good. But I'm going to play it because I liked it. It was all right. I don't,
yeah,
it's
it was
not what I want.
Generic, and it reminded me of a game I liked on PC.
Yeah, better, too.
No, not better.
No, you like it better on PC is what I'm saying. You'd rather
oh,
play
yeah. It. Yeah, it reminded me of a better game on PC.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying exactly. As well. I agree with you. Not you and I completely agree on the issue at the core of all this. The only difference between you and I is I am going to play it and you're not. But other than that, we actually feel the same about it, I think. Yeah.
The only thing I was like, man, they could really put a new coat of paint on Diablo 3. Because there is some stuff in that game where I'm like, oh, that model looks better.
Oh, yeah. No, they newer stuff, like newer sets and things. You're like, oh, all right. Look at that. And then you look at something from like freaking 2016 or 15. You're like, oh.
We made this out of 3 polygons and we had 2 polygons left.
You think 2012 okay, was the freaking
okay, thanks.
Ancient,
good job.
The ancient days of 2012, I guess. But anyway. All right, there's that. Quick note, though, if you're playing Heroes, by the way, we're going to play Heroes later because our good friends Kristen and Kyle are going to play with us. And that's our 5-person game of choice. So we're going to play Heroes of the Storm today. Yeah, that's right. Live with it. Anyway, there's some changes. There's the Army Dudes event. Okay, so you got Deckard Payne with his cool gun thing. Mm-hmm. Abba and Abathur talent changes. It's not the same person.
I itemized these real quick. There's the Army Dudes event. That's all I wrote about Army Dudes.
Yeah.
Line item is the next thing, completely separate.
Yeah, right, but you started listing Abba.
Deckard Payne. You put Abba.
You said Deckard Payne, and then you started reading from the list where I didn't list the heroes in the event.
Oh, no, I know that, but you've written Abba and Abathur talent changes. That's the same person.
Oh, yeah, Anna. It's a typo, dude. Jeez,
no, that's fine. I was just like, wait, who does he mean? Who's Abba?
Sorry.
I don't understand. You used letters you didn't intend to use. I'm completely thrown by this.
I don't understand. Please explain. There's also a message from K.O. Miller saying all items will be purchasable with gems individually. That was good news.
Okay, that wasn't a typo. You just said it wrong.
What did I say wrong? Purchase.
You called him K.O. Miller.
Oh, whoops. What did I? Oh, Milker. Sorry, Milker.
He's trying to rush through this, John.
Did I say Miller? I said Miller? That is Milker. Yeah. Milker. K.O. Milker.
Like the guy who taught Solid Snake how to survive in the wilderness.
Right. That guy.
Like Dr. Milker? I got another name for Dr. Mustache.
Dr. Mustache, Dr. Milker, Dr. Gizmo. Anyway.
Dr. Gimmicks.
Or Gimmicks, not Gizmo. A few devs have been posting that there are insane amounts of content to come. We don't know if that's smoke or not, but that was a Reddit post, and that's cool. Well, I don't know what that means.
Someone posted a thing, and one of the developers is like, we have insane amounts of content coming. I'm like, you realize what that means, right? Like, my head's going to explode when I see this.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge. I'm hoping it's, I want a reason to for Heroes to be exciting again. So.
I'll make a prediction, Bo. Your head will probably not explode.
Yeah.
Damn it.
It's going to stay right on your head. Content, it's not going to pop.
But
wow, you're just a shiny ray of optimism today, John.
A shiny ray of optimism. Hey, how about we have one more of those? All right, real quick, we're just going to kind of round up the other stuff we're spending our gaming time on this week, because there's always something. It isn't always just one thing or another, unless you're Bo. That's pretty much all he did. But I have been doing a bunch of WoW dailies. I don't know why. I just kind of went on a wild tear the other day and started doing all of them every day. So, like, every world quest, I'm doing them.
Scott.
I don't know. Don't ask me. I just get in and go, hey there, Tortilla's got a bunch of quests for me. Let's go do those for her.
Tortillas? Is that what you call Tortolas?
No, it's, what's her name? Talanji, her.
Oh, Talanji.
So I'll go do her thing, get a little bag of goodies. She gave me a brand new awesome 360 bow today. That was a nice little moment. And I just got in the mood. I don't know why.
Are you listening to podcasts while you do this? Are you watching Netflix?
No, I'm just...
You're 100% focused on the dailies, and you're like, I'm going to do all of them.
You know, that's not exactly true. I listened to three, while I was doing it the other night, I was listening to three in a row comedy concert things on Netflix from Dave Chappelle. So I guess I am doing some other things while I tool around in there.
Well, WoW is the perfect game for that.
It really is. It's great, and I love it, and I'm having a great time in there. So there's that. I also have been dabbling in Diablo Season 16. I did kind of a weird thing, though. I started a seasonal character. Bo got me all excited about his monk, and I thought, ooh, let's go back there and do monks. And then I got to about level 30, and I went, but how's my wizard doing? And I just wanted to go just check on him. And
you keep going to play non-seasonal.
I know. I don't know why I do this, but I did, and now I've been cranking up the ranks with him, and he's just great. And also, sometimes I think I just need to accept the fact that Diablo 3 is the wizard game for me. Like, it's just the only character I like. It's like you with the monk. Yeah. It's all you like to play.
It's the monk simulator.
So for me, it's the wizard simulator. And I just want to play him all day and have him go, what's the snotty thing he says? You barely know what hit you, or whatever he says. He says a bunch of snotty crap. And it's just him. It's who I like. It's who I play. So I've been doing a bunch of that. And then I played the Division 2 closed beta, which I don't even know if we're allowed to say anything about because it was closed. I don't know how that's supposed to work.
Okay, let me ask you about a question that's generic and would apply to the Division 1 as well as 2, so you're technically allowed to talk about
it. All right, go ahead.
I'll tell you my big problem with the Division.
Yeah.
Because everything seems okay about it.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that it's based on real life, so all you ever fight is dudes. And that seems like the worst thing.
So... I think that's still kind of a problem early on. Not a problem, but that's, you know, you're dealing with bosses that are like, I run this whole city now. See, come take me on. See. And then he's got, you know, the only thing that makes him cool is he's got extra layers of armor you got to bust through or whatever.
I put a mattress on my chest.
Yeah, kind of stuff like that. So there is some of that. But in the end game, they're not supernatural creatures necessarily, but there is a lot more cool ideas going on. I can say this,
they're on drugs.
The Division 2 beta felt really good to me, and it felt like a really nice iterative sort of final destination for where they've been working on Division 1. Like, all the best ideas have moved forward. They have some new stuff to do. Felt good just to hop in and play. I liked it quite a bit. I prefer that over Destiny, and I'll just say, I know that's controversial, but they're kind of the same kind of games. Go in with your friends or solo, fight a bunch of stuff, do the equivalent of strikes, big raids, level your dude up and max out, and then do end game. Like, all that stuff's kind of in there. I just like cover mechanics, and I like realistic gunplay a little more than the Destiny thing for some reason in this particular comparison. So I quite like it. And I'll probably check it out once it hits. When is that? March? Sometime in March, I think. So we'll see.
So when you're done with Anthem.
Oh, yeah. Anthem's the other thing coming. I still am on the fence with Anthem. I don't know what to think about Anthem yet.
Well, we might talk about that in like just a second.
All right. Well, let's talk.
Somebody here has played it.
Is it Friday it's coming out?
Yeah. Well, yes and no. I don't want to talk about the release of Anthem because, boy, is that a grid that you have to research into. But yes, I will be playing it at the end of the week.
So did you see, so then you have seen the strange spreadsheet, like
yes,
Venn diagram of how to play Anthem. Then you've seen
I had
that.
To do homework to figure out how to buy this game.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of waiting for you, to be honest. I want to hear what John thinks of it, because I trust his opinion on these kinds of things. And
all right, well, let's talk about Anthem real quick, because that is on my list of things.
All right.
I really like it. I think it has a burden, which is the BioWare name. And I think that brings a lot of preconceptions and a lot of hope for what that game might be. And I don't know that the game's going to live up to that. Mm. We'll see. I hope. I hope it does. I got a hint in a, I'm assuming I'm allowed to talk about a closed beta that I played in a long time ago. There was a little more story in that, and that seemed interesting. There was not a lot in these public betas that they did, or VIP sessions, but the gameplay is really fun. Flying around is fun. Shooting is fun. It has that loot grind for me where it was just, I would go, I would do a mission, it'd throw a bunch of loot at me at the end of the mission, and I go, oh, I got to get in the game now and try what that does. Mm-hmm. That seems cool. I want to go see how that works. And I'd race back in and do another thing again just to see what this new ability I got was. So it had that Diablo-esque loot vibe where it was just like, oh, I'm more powerful at this. Now I got to try this. That stuff was really working for me, and I'm really into that stuff.
Private loot? Do you get private loot, or is it shared? How's that work?
It's private loot. In fact, you actually don't pick up any... Well, you pick it up in the mission, but you don't know what it is until the mission completes.
Oh.
And then you get almost a loot box-esque... It's not a loot box, but like that same sort of thing where it like comes down at the end of the mission and is like, this is what you got.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really hitting that itch for me. It's kind of hitting a Diablo itch. The gameplay is fun. You get to feel like Iron Man. That's pretty cool. I found a class that I really, really like. And it just... It plays the right way for me to be excited and into it. I think the multiplayer in it will be really good. I haven't played with anybody yet. I've played with other people, but they were always randos.
Yeah.
And I think if you get in with people talking, with people coordinating, I think there might really be something to that game. I totally get why people may have been turned off by the betas that they showed or concerned about BioWare at this state, especially after the last Mass Effect game that I want to pretend doesn't exist. But, you know, I'm hopeful that this will kind of do it.
Do you feel like, that's interesting. Cause I need these games to be soloable as well as play them with friends.
Yeah.
Cause I'd play them with you guys and I would like that. But I also like it where I can just kind of hop in like, wow, like Diablo. I don't always want to be doing it with somebody. So, do you think the game is going to service me at all, or is it going to be like Destiny where I felt like I missed out on 80% of the game because I didn't want to hang out with people?
I'll say this. I have a tendency to get the anxiety when I have to play with randos. Like, it's part of what kept me out of Hero League for a long time in Heroes. I actually will typically only play Apex if I'm playing with at least a friend. I still have some of the like, oh, I don't want to get in with two randos anxiety there.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I definitely experience in games, and I ran the strike with strangers in that 4 or 5 times during the beta. It didn't bother me.
And that felt all right.
Yeah, it felt fine. I was just happy to be in there. You feel independent enough that you can do what you need, and if people show up and help you out, that's great too.
Okay. Interesting. And I see you were tempted by that Civ expansion where it's just constant destruction and like volcanoes and shit.
Yeah, I love Civilization.
I do too.
I'm always tempted by the expansion.
Big Civ fan, me too. But I'm worried about this one because everything I read is that it's expensive and doesn't do much to the game.
Yeah, it's like $40 or something like that. No. So it might be a wait until it's on a sale for me, especially with how much stuff is coming out at the end of this week.
Yeah.
This week is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, what's the other one this week I kind of want to get? Is that I want to see the post-apocalyptic Far Cry, even though, you know,
yeah,
I didn't play 5 and didn't really care for what I heard about 5. But this is post-nuke. Awful time, and I love that. So
yeah, they're kind of dipping their toe into your wheelhouse.
Yeah, yeah,
they're putting their toe in your cheese, Scott.
Yeah, it's just so just
pulling your pork.
Yeah, they're pulling my pork. Bo, what are you doing other than
wait? Oh. I am not gonna let you skip the one thing I want to talk about, geez. Scott.
All right, Resident Evil 2, freaking just get it out of the way. What's
this was not gonna happen.
I can't do it. I can't do another one of those.
Yeah, you can.
I can.
This was really good.
Buy it for him.
I might.
That's the only way I do it. That's the rule. I play these on that stream if people buy these games, and that's the only way I do
it. Someone buy it for him.
Someone needs to buy Scott Resident Evil 2. It's really good. I have beaten this game 3 times now, and I'm working on my 4th time.
Oh my, what? How are you doing? But wait, so you've got the 2 runs you can do, the guy and the chicky poo, right?
Right.
What else is there after that?
So when you beat the game as Leon, it's called a Leon A run, you unlock a Claire B run. And when you beat the game as a Claire A run, you unlock a Leon B run. Okay. So I played Leon A, Claire B, Claire A, and now I'm working on Leon B.
And what's the difference? Just harder or what?
It's actually not that big of a difference in the remake. It's more of an abridged, slightly altered, as far as where you go in and some basic layout stuff early on in the game. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit harder in some ways. You're a little more resource starved early on in the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, generally speaking, the B's are all going to be the same. The A's are, you know, very similar. Claire and Leon have some key story differences between them. That's where the biggest difference lies. They go to different rooms, they meet different people, they encounter different bosses. But it's not that long of a game, so you can actually beat it in, you know, a pretty short order. And it is one of the most fun games I have played in recent history.
Well, I beat the first iteration of this game back in the day when it was new and on PlayStation 1. Am I going to have the same? I mean, I know it's all different stuff, remastered, but it's still the same. I mean, am I just playing the same game again or no?
No, they have changed it significantly. It reminds you, it does a very good job of calling back to that original stuff where you go, oh man, I remember this, police stations and Leon and all of that. But it feels like a totally different game at times. And it plays like Resident Evil 4.
I do like 4. Big fan of 4.
Which is really, really nice. And, you know, I will admit that I'm a bit biased. Resident Evil 2 is the game that got me to buy a PlayStation.
Oh, wow.
Back in the day. I used to borrow a friend's, and he wouldn't give us a memory card. So every time I played it, it was an attempt to beat the game without saving in one sitting. And I used to just try for it nonstop. So I adore this game. I was already the biggest Resident Evil 2 fan on the planet. And this game is a loving homage to it. It's incredibly fun. And they're getting DLC on Friday.
I'm concerned that Mr. X thing is just going to give me the shits. Like, why do
it
I
might. It's going to stress you out. It's not that scary.
But I thought he just from what I understand, he just nonstop chases you around and he's always on the verge of chasing you again. Like,
once you get him in the game, he's not there the whole time. You have a little bit of time before he shows up. Spoilers. He shows up and he will chase you until you lose him. And then he begins a patrol looking for you.
If he
sees you, he comes after you again. But he doesn't just know where you are and follow you. He just walks down common corridors looking for you.
Was that in the original 2? Or was that in 3?
So that's one of the big differences. In the original, Mr. X wasn't a villain until you played the B story. He was the big boss of the B story.
Yeah.
That mechanic didn't work that way in the original. In the original, he would just show up in certain rooms.
Okay.
But he would follow you from room to room. He is what inspired the Nemesis for 3.
I hate him. I don't even... Oh.
You should play it.
All right. I will see. I don't know, dude. I'm not committing to anything yet.
You should play it and you should stream it because, Scott, you were... probably put on this earth to stream horror games.
Don't you mean scream horror games?
Yes, I did.
Great.
I mean that.
People listening are like, what? Does he scream a lot? And I know some people have heard me do it, but here, I'll give you a taste. I have a file.
Brace yourselves.
Yeah, hold on to your stuff. Here we go.
Brace yourselves.
I don't know if this is me or not. No, that's not me. Hold on. No, that's not me either. Where is me? Oh.
Somebody was...
No.
Yep.
What the heck? I lost all my... Oh, here it is. Okay, that's one. It's one example. Oh, this one's Bo. hold on. There you go. That's what you get when I play a scary game. That's awful. No one wants that.
Everyone wants that.
It's so shrill.
I can't help it, man. It's just in me. All right. Well, we'll see how that goes. And so, Bo.
Yes.
What's your Apex and what? Does the Diablo climb over? You're done? No more season 16?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I just want to play Apex right now, so. Diablo was just like, I just wanted to play Diablo, and I'm at a grind point now where it's farming to push greater rifts.
Yeah.
And Apex, there's no farming.
No.
It's just funning.
Farming for kills and farming for...
I'm not a big fan of farming, playing a game just to farm. You know, if I wanted to farm, I'd have a ranch.
You'd rather like farm for brown armor. No, brown ammo, we called it the other day. Some brown ammo.
Brown ammo?
Yeah.
I mean, I like to, you know, just... Even that's irritating. That they improved on it because it was way worse than the other battle royales. But
oh yeah, no, the color coding's pretty good. There's still some things.
I still kind of hate doing it. Like you said, they should just let you drop with a gun. You know, like I mean, come on.
Give me a pea shooter, pistol, something. Drop me in. Then I've got the most basic of basics. It's not great, but it's you know, in the right hands, you win a couple of early fights, and then let me go get another guns. But if you're gonna drop us all down at once, the punching only thing, I'm just not.
It's important. It's almost like a roguelike in that way, though. Just that it's randomly assigned, so this run is what you find. I mean, I appreciate it for what it is, I think.
Sure.
So, well, at the end of the day, I'm okay with it. But, I've just been playing Apex, and that's all. I mean, yeah, that's all I anticipate playing for the next little bit.
Well, tonight. Until
I get back to The Witcher 3. That game is so big.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, where'd you end up in there?
I'm on Skellige right now.
Yeah. All right.
It's good, but I have a lot of responsibility games that I could be playing, but I'm just playing Apex, so.
Yeah, I understand where you're at. All right, well, here's one
final. Oh, but I wanted to ask you one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if this is a PC game.
Yeah.
But that Battle Royale Tetris.
Yeah, dude.
What the hell is that?
I got it right here. So today, Nintendo did a Nintendo Direct, one of their videos where they announced their stuff. They announced a bunch of things. Mario Maker 2 coming to the Switch, which is very exciting.
Will probably get me to buy a Switch.
Probably. It's an amazing game. That first one was incredible. It's the only reason to even own a freaking Wii U. But
it was the only game I owned for my Wii U.
The Mario game that came out with Super Mario World Land or whatever the hell, that was really good. Like, super good. But, it's a really good game. They announced a new, what's the name of the turn-based fantasy thing they made?
Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem game, like a proper one, not that mobile thing that... Let's not talk about mobile. That mobile game makes Nintendo a lot of money, by the way.
I like the 3DS game.
Yeah, that was a good game.
That's almost mobile.
Well, that's what you're going to get here is more like that game. A proper version of one of those. And then they didn't talk about the new Animal Crossing, which really bums me out. But one of the weird things they showed off, other than the remake of Link's Awakening, where they've remastered it. Speaking of Resident Evil 2 and a remaster, it's like...
Yeah, can I just gush about that for a second?
No, I want to know about Tetris 99.
We'll get there, but freaking Link's Awakening, Bo!
It's weeks.
Bo, it's a Zelda game that has...
You talked about three different games. You had your turn to talk about games. I want to know about Tetris 99.
All right, I'm going to get right to it then. Imagine Tetris, except... 99 people are playing for supremacy. If it sounds like a battle royale game, it's because it is. It's an actual Tetris game. Nintendo made it. It's not licensed to somebody else. This is them making it. Nobody knew this was coming. Total surprise. Another big surprise drop in February of a battle royale game that no one knew was coming.
but
you play Tetris, and while you're playing, you got your little screen with Tetris happening like you're used to. All the controls, all that stuff you're used to. But then off into the periphery and the sides and in the top, there's all of these little screens, and that represents each of all the other people. And you get to see all of their little progress as they go. They're tiny, but you'll see like this guy's...
Can you throw blocks at other people?
Yes, that's the beauty of it. So when you clear blocks, and the more you clear, the bigger your combo, the more damage you can do to the other guy. And you can choose who and where to send that to. First of all, you can be random if you want. It can just be every time you clear stuff, it'll attack somebody, but you don't pick. If you want to be specific about it, you can target somebody, and you can be strategic and go, oh, that guy's already screwed. I'm going to just finish him off. with this great big long one I'm about to drop, and all four of these are going to pop. And then you take that guy out of the game. The highest I've gotten was 23 before I die. And it's just like a battle royale. You get out, you get in again, it counts down, bam, you're all in, everyone goes, you play till you hopefully win or lose, and you can watch the rest of the match if you want, or get out if you die.
So this is the last, it's like a 99 place last longer competition with some PvP.
Yeah, it's really fun. Like, if you already like Tetris, it's kind of a no-brainer.
I mean, where else would you go with that franchise? It seems kind of smart, to be honest with you.
Last year they had that, the PlayStation 1 that was the VR compatible, what was it called?
Tetris Effect.
Tetris Effect, which is, by all accounts was amazing. But that was like taking that into a new dimension, right? Like, here's Tetris, but a whole new way of playing it. Well, this is like that too, except, you know, glomming onto this battle royale thing. They're planning like achievement badges and like special events, like doing all the stuff everybody else does for their free to play games. It's pretty rad. Like, I had a lot of fun.
Implement that in their esports events, because they have a championship for Tetris.
Oh yeah, no, I guarantee it.
And so I feel like this is innovative along that vector.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a battle royale mode. It's viewable. You get to watch like all these, you know, at a high level, just like all these crazy people just blinding themselves on the screen. Just so going so fast.
And you can also, here's the other cool thing, is you can tell who's targeting you. So if somebody's targeting you specifically because they want to get you, it tells you, it'll show a little icon on him and then a line to you saying, you know, warning, someone's whatever. And so you could, in theory, go, oh, really? Head to head, are we? And then you can kind of switch to them as your target. And if you're a better Tetris player than them, you can, you know, one-to-one that guy and take him out.
Smoke him. And can you get a helmet so that some of the blocks don't hurt as much?
No, but I like to think the first piece
got a level 3 Tetris helmet.
I like to think the first piece that drops, though, is like your drop. You know what I mean? Like, there's other things in it that just are kind of a funny.
It'd just be cool if there are little loot drops, like if you got an L shape, but if it had like a Mozambique in it.
Yeah.
And then when you cleared it, you got a little, I don't know, power up of some kind or something. You know, like just.
Yeah.
Anyways, I mean, they just launched it. I'm sure there's room for that game to grow.
Oh, totally. And it's just
if you're listening.
And it's free.
Me playing it would be the Mozambique of that game. Just if I'm the one playing, I might as well.
You are the Mozambique.
I am the Mozambique.
I used to be a really good Tetris player back in the day. I felt a little rusty today, but it comes back to you. And it's not like there's any meta tricks other than Tetris tricks. Like, that's the thing about it, is it's not, unlike a shooter or something, you just have to be good at Tetris to win, or to try to win. Sure. And I think it's a neat, stupid idea. I really like it.
I've got an idea for something just off the top of my head that I think would be interesting in there, Scott. I want to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
What if it was The Legend of Zelda, but it had Chain Chomps and Goombas in it?
What?
And you had to wake up the Windfish.
Oh, my Lord.
He's trying to derail the conversation back to Link's Awakening.
He is. I mean, that looked really good. Tilt shift camera angles and beautiful 3D environment. I mean, it's cute as hell. I want to play it like bad. So nice day for Nintendo. They actually had some cool stuff to show today. And it was nice to have my gaming attention shifted from all this Blizzard doom and gloom to something kind of rad there. So there's that. All right, real quick, we have this. Quick little email from a listener. Handy 4 is his name. Is that perverted or weird?
We could all use that.
I didn't quite know what to think of his name, but Handy 4 sent this message, and he said this. Hi, guys. Why? Why doesn't anyone make a battle royale game where you use stealth tactics and spy shit?
I love this email so much.
I like reading this email, like, it's like, and spy shit or spy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he
went. Like, you look around the rock and you see some poo on the ground. You're like,
there's been a spy here.
I think what he wants, ground. I think what he's describing is like a Splinter Cell style thing. But I mean, you could do it.
It exists. It's called PUBG.
The problem is I'd be too good at it.
Here's the thing. I think what he's saying, imagine like a third person one. It's all cameras under doors and all the stuff that Sam Fisher, not Shepard, Sam Fisher would have.
Shitter?
Sam Shitter.
Sam Shitter.
No, not Sam Shitter. But you would have less people. Let's say your battle royale is 20 people, because that would make design sense, and you're in an old warehouse or whatever, and you got to just kind of hide in the shadows and sneak around, and how the circle closes or whatever that mechanic is maybe a little bit different. I think there's something to be mined there. Maybe a little more specialized, a little more niche, but I'd play it. I'm down with Handy Four's idea. I mean, who doesn't want to make
it? Damn it, shitter, we're pulling you out of there.
I'd assume there's an audience for it, but it's like in this game. One of the things we didn't talk about when we talked about with Apex is that Apex also is designed to make you fight. So it's pretty easy to get second place in Apex if you just don't fight anything and hide and hide and hide and be really good at stealth tactics. It works. Done it a bunch, especially in randos where people leave and I'm just by myself.
Yeah.
The problem is you can't beat first place.
Right.
And so if you have a 30-1 or even like a 90-1 shot at being first place, what are you even playing the game for? It's boring.
Yeah.
But you can do that right now in those games, and Apex is designed to make you fight stuff. So I get that the question is, would you play a game that makes you not fight things and just hang around for 40 minutes? And the answer to me is like, no. Like, you can make that game and there'd be people who'd like it, I'm sure. But can you imagine me trying to pitch it to EA, the greatest game company to ever exist, the maker of Apex Legends? They'd be like, no, sir. You know, like, it doesn't sound very good on paper to me. But I know there are fans of the genre, and there's probably a small audience who would religiously play a game with those mechanics for the kinds of periods of time that the makers of these games would wish for their games.
I would argue I would have said before Apex Legends that nobody could improve on the Battle Royale thing was kind of, you know, done, and it was just now a matter of what game it was in or what mode it showed up in, or I don't know. Like, it didn't seem like there was that much more to do. And then this game kind of proved it wrong. I would be willing to say somebody out there, some maker of games, could change my mind on a tactics spy game. Spy shit right. game. Yeah.
Here's my
don't
pitch.
Like the waiting.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Here's my game pitch.
Go ahead.
It's a game. We'll say 60 people.
Yeah.
They all spawn in a room.
Got it.
There's not a lot of cut, like there's not a bunch of, it's one room.
Okay.
Maybe there's some ladders or I don't know, but it's a room.
Okay.
You can do a punch, kind of disorient or stun somebody a little bit. It's not very effective.
Okay.
And the only way you can get a kill is by pressing E while standing behind somebody to perform an execution move.
Okay.
And then it's last man standing.
Can you execute somebody who's executing?
No.
No.
But you can wait for them to be done.
So, yes.
Wait, just a room? Like a room.
Yeah, just a room.
So you just go in and go, okay, go! And then everybody's just running around behind each other, killing each other. Uh-huh. After they stun them. Okay.
But maybe you can interrupt your own execution animation to get out of it early, but then the person survives it.
Okay. Yeah.
If you think someone's really going to get you.
I mean, it
definitely sounds like John's wet video game dream. For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. It's basically
the kind of, he likes to play rogues. Like, what if World of Warcraft, but all the classes are rogues?
Oh my God.
That sounds like his perfect
Valentine's Day is until tomorrow, Bo.
Yeah. I would also argue that it's a good thing we got that broody the stealth check in Apex. I'm not sure John would play it as much. Like Wraith. That, she brought you in, dude. Wraith brought you in. You may have stayed for the fun, but you came in because of Wraith.
The nice thing about having a trope that really pulls your pork is that it's a common trope, and it exists in every video game they make. So yeah. I never have to worry about it.
Yeah, you're always going to get the thief, like, right? Like, that's always going to happen.
Vermintide.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Wait, who's the the arrow lady, yeah.
Yeah, and it's almost always an elf. It's mm-hmm. great.
Mm-hmm. That game continues to be rad. Well, thank you, Handy Four, for your rad question. If you would like to send in your own and be just like Handy Four, you can. Oh, I just realized it could be Handy Four. No, it's Handy Four.
It could be H Andy Four.
H Andy Four. Oh, H Andy Four.
H Andy Four.
Dundee Four. I don't know. Anyway,
Andy, why does the floor move?
Go to frogpants.com/core. There's a link right there to contact us. Boom, you're in. Frogpants.com/core. Or we're now taking voicemails. If you want to hear yourself heard on the show, you have a point you want to make, you want to do it with your own voice and have us answer it, you can. 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0GOB. G-O-B. Or 0462, however you want to do it. Doesn't matter to me. But we'd be happy to play it on the show. All right, here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to play Heroes of the Storm. I know that sounds crazy given everything that's been going on, but that is literally what
game.
We're going to do.
We never said it was not a fun game and deserves more than it's gotten.
Oh, yeah, heck yeah. And we enjoy playing it. So we're going to enjoy that tonight. And if you want to stick around and watch the stream, that'd be great. We got Kyle coming up, Kristen, us, of course. So that'll be right here in just a moment. In the meantime, don't forget, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play one of these underneath. Here we go. We'll just go out on a happy music thing today. Patreon.com/core show. If you like what you're hearing right now, you want to help us? That sounds great. We could sure use it over at patreon.com/core show. We're at frogpants.com/core. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Bo Schwartz for Bo. I'm at Scott Johnson. John's at John_Jagger. And Core Heroes for the show. It's going to do it for us, for me, for John, for Bo. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.
By the way, Kyle got his fifth win. or a second win while we were recording.
While we were talking?
Oh, we bring good luck to the Apex players.
Great.
Sorry, can you show my beard full screen for the guy in chat who wants to see it?
Oh, my Lord. Look at that thing.
There you go. I assume it was me he was talking about.
It's like
you might have been talking about Scott. Scott's got some hair, too.
70s granny porn is what that is.
John does it. 70. What granny has a beard like this?
No, that's... Gosh, I just splashed water all over myself. Oh, shit. I'm laughing so hard I dumped water everywhere. Oh, my
gosh.
Here's
the guy that wanted the beard. Somebody's like, zoom it in. I zoomed it in for you.
It's really zoomed in.
Oh, I got all right, water. Ninja Cowboy. Awesome.
I got water everywhere just now.
Sorry, what was the thing that was funny? I didn't get why you were
the level of earnestness, because it was that you asked that ridiculous question.
Yeah,
because
it was this up close shot of your beard, and I said it looks because you have a little gray in it, and I said it looks like 1970s granny porn. 70s because they, you know, there is on the bushy business, and then also because it's a little bit gray and it's all close up, and I thought, hey, yeah, 70s granny porn, and you go, what granny has a beard like this?
Well, isn't it grandpa porn?
No, he still doesn't get it, Scott. I'm hanging up. He'll figure it out later and it'll be funny. I should get a bidet. He always go, what? And I'm like, no, people have them now. Scott has one.
Yeah, I do have one.
That's You're like the equivalent of the kid who had the Super Nintendo before everybody else.
Do you use it, or is it just sit there?
Oh, yeah, I use it all the time. I use it today.
Perfect.
Yeah, that thing's awesome. Warm seat in the winter, it's the best. Oh, man.
But, I mean, that part's not the bidet part. That's just the seat
warm. Well, yeah. But it's got all these features. So, like, it's warm when you put your butt on it, no matter how cold it might be. You can do if you're like, oh, I don't have any time for this, you can just do the quick hose and get up and get out. Or you can do the nice long, they have a little massage thing it does.
Do you have to dry off? Like, if you put it on your pants too quick, do you get like a big wet stain in your ass crack?
Well, you would if you didn't do the blower. You're supposed to use the blower, see?
Oh, it has a blower.
Yeah, it's got a
blower.
I was
like, how do you get the water off?
I assumed toilet paper still came into play at the end as like a drying mechanism, but there's a whole blower.
Yeah, at the end of the process, it goes... and just like blows on your butt. It's true.